on Ways and Means. This is Wednesday, March 30th, 2005, and we're here to work Senate Bill 5050, which is the Oregon State Marine Board budget bill. I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5050, and the first thing I have on my agenda is to review the agency's response. Well, first of all, Ms. Jordan, do you want to kind of set the stage for us what we're going to be working on today? That would be
Yes, I would be happy to. First, let me tell you what you have in front of you, the materials that you have at your place. You have a copy of the priority list that the subcommittee went through and did the ranking.
Hang on a minute. John always showed them to me, but they never figure out what they're doing. Thank you very much. That helps.
And you also have a couple of handouts. One is a memo from myself, just kind of a general orientation about the agency's budget. It looks like this. I put in the back a couple little graphs. You have a handout from the Department of Administrative Services on the governor's budget. And then we have the performance measures. The agency has gone back and reworked the measures to respond to the subcommittee's questions and the co-chairs. And we'll be kind of, we'd like to walk through those with you today. And then you have my work session materials at the bottom of the pile.
Okay. Any questions on the paper pile that you have?
Just keep us oriented which pile we're in as we
can. Yes, please.
Okay.
Don't pile on.
Good advice. Okay. Mr. Don Hefner, could we have you take the committee through the agency's response to phase one questions and the subcommittee's initial priorities? Did we have any phase one questions?
We didn't.
Oh, that's going to make that part go very quickly.
Madam
I was looking for the page that went with. See, you found me up already.
I see it.
It is this page we are working on now.
But you didn't say that.
No, we didn't.
Let's go back into the last section, which is the other one.
Okay, so could you please react to the way that the subcommittee prioritized the agency's programs?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Don Hefner, Director of the Marine Board. We have no qualms about the way that the committee reprioritized the list of program rankings. As I said in my initial presentation, there were any number of ways that those could have been rearranged, and it would have been equally acceptable. We tended to put the administration of each program with the program, but as the committee chose to put those at the end, that's perfectly acceptable to us. I think at the end of the day, all of it needs to be done in one way or another, and so we don't have any problems with the rearranging of those priorities.
Questions or comments from the committee? So shall we just accept the prioritized ranking as a done deal? Senator
what
Shields,
does that imply?
That implies that this is the agency's ranking that will be introduced into the discussions that the co-chairs are having and will be given to the committee that sits in this place in 2 years to use to review the agency at that time.
So it's creating some history of where we are at this moment.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily refer to that magic line that Senator Bates was talking about.
Well, that is going to come up when the co-chair's budget comes out. But this agency, because there's no general fund in the budget...
The magic line's down here sometimes. Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why this is one that we are able to move out ahead of the co-chair's budget coming out, because it just is...
Right. Gotcha.
Okay, we'll move ahead then. We have, do we need to make a motion that we accept these? Let's go ahead then and talk about performance measures.
Big
pick one?
There were a number of revisions that the committee asked the agency to make to the performance measures, and I was very gratified going through this with the way that the agency responded. I was particularly impressed with the work that you did on the analysis of them. That I thought that the information that you put in was very helpful. You want to take us through these and talk to us about what the differences are so that the committee members can discuss them?
Madam Chair, I think that Paul Dunheffner would be the best person to do that. Yes, I think he can explain his programs better than I can.
Would you do that, please?
I'd be happy to. We revised the first performance measure. It now is the number of boating safety examinations conducted. It's a measure that we have data on going back quite some time, so it's it was an easy one to do analysis on because we do have quite a bit of information with this one. And I think it's pretty straightforward now. I don't know what more I can say about it other than...
Just remind the committee that the measure had previously been the percent of boats that passed the boating safety exam, and that some of the questions that came up was what the relative feel was that we were talking about. And so by making this adjustment there, showing you know, how many examinations they had projected and how many they actually conducted.
Quick question.
Senator Shields.
When you're looking at this, 99, we examined 43,125 boats. We're down to 27.6. Is that because of staff cutting? That's half the question. The other half is, I'm assuming that the number of boats is larger between 99 and 04. So our ability to take a look is going this way, and the number of boats is going this way. And should we be making adjustments, or is there a safety issue here? Or I'd just like to have a chance to comment on that.
Sure. Madam Chair, Senator Shields, your observation about the growth in number of boats is absolutely correct. There has been an increase over time, although since 99 we have been flat or actually kind of declining, hovering at about $190,000 vessel level. So it hasn't been spiking as it had been through the early 90s. It has kind of plateaued, in fact, declined slightly.
Recession, et cetera.
Recession, low water, number of factors, time.
You can't find any place to put the boat in. Anymore.
Time, economy. There's no one single reason that we've been able to pinpoint for it. Part of the decline in this is a court decision a few years back. Came out of Multnomah County on a boating under the influence case involving a probable cause and reasons to stop and things like that. And so,
it's another sobriety checkpoint problem.
And so that has tempered somewhat the number of examinations that are conducted.
Okay. Thanks.
And then just to follow up on that, because I think it's an excellent point that the senators raised, we see an uptick from 03 to 04. Do you anticipate that trend will continue up, or is that some kind of just an unusual thing?
Madam Chair, for this year, I wouldn't predict anything. It's going to be a very poor boating season, I think, given what we're looking at for reservoir levels and that. And so if there are less people out, there'll be less exams. We might see that number drop significantly this year, depending on what happens over the next couple of months with reservoir fill. So there are external factors like that that influence, you know, the number of exams because of the number of people that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's our goal to try to step that up, or to at least, you know, try to maintain that level given the number of officers that we can put in the field. And conducting boating safety examinations is an important means of them contacting people even before they're on the waterway to ensure that they have the proper life-saving and safety equipment in the boat, educate boaters. It's not simply a matter of enforcement. It's really also a matter of educating people about what they need to be safe.
So do you think that the 2005 target is going to be reached? Is that a valid target?
the, we have put a note in here that the target for 2005, 6, and 7 are projections, and those are tied to patrol hours that have not yet been established for those years. So we haven't established, for example, the total number of contract hours that will be provided for this entire year yet. We haven't our contracts expired June 30th, and we haven't renewed contracts for the next fiscal year yet. So some of it will depend on the number of hours of service that we're going to be contracting for. Some of this number is based on history, and given what we know today about water levels, I think reaching 32,000 this year is probably not achievable.
There's also a projected reduction in the salmon harvest offshore this year, significant, which means that ports like Brookings that have 800 to 1,000 boats a day, typical, I doubt you'll hit half of that if you don't have seasons. Some of that isn't just a less of a bag limit. That's closed times, and they can't even get out there. So you don't have the incentive for those people to come over to the coast. And if lakes are also low, there's not going to be as much. There's no other place for them to go.
So I'm wondering if it would be reasonable to adjust this target downward then. What do you think?
Madam Chair, I think that the agency knows.
I don't think we're going to strike them too hard anyway.
It's best able to project the number of hours that they're going to contract for. What they actually achieve will show up in the performance that they report in the next.
Madam Chair, I just think that's, every year is going to be a little bit different, but you ought to have that target up there. And, if it's there. If it isn't, then you say, okay, this is the reason why, and you come in and make it obvious to us.
Representative Shaw?
This decrease, I would hope that some of the decrease reflects all your efforts in educating the boating public what to do and not to do, and therefore be having less reasons to pull them over. This isn't just random. This is stop for cause, right? So I hope that the boating public is, are they getting better or worse?
Madam Chair, Representative Schlaffer, actually, these are not all for cause. These are, when they contact people, they'll ask people, would you like to have a courtesy examination? You're not necessarily going to get a ticket from submitting to one of these.
Right.
Particularly, some of them are conducted at the ramp. People aren't even underway. It's a chance for you to get your boat checked. If you pass it, they'll affix a decal to the transom that lets other officers know when they see you on the waterway that you have been checked, they hear that, you are in compliance.
Okay. Any more questions on this performance measure? Let's forward your hand here.
The second performance measure was changed to the number of boat patrol hours conducted on the water. Previously, this had been a ratio of on-water patrol hours to patrol hours. There was quite a bit of discussion regarding that ratio, and we were asked to revise it. And so it's similar to number one. It's the number of boat patrol hours conducted on the water. We view on-water patrol as very important. Our goal is half of all patrol hours to be on-water patrol hours. But because of training and travel time and a variety of other factors that eat into an officer's available hours, clearly they can't spend 100% of their time on-water patrol. So this is a target for us. We have been close to or exceeded this target in the last several years, and we hope to keep it up there, because obviously an on-water presence is one of the biggest factors in deterring problems on the waterway.
Well, and it's good to see a kind of an upward slant to the trending here, too. Questions or comments on this measure? Let's move ahead then.
Third one is the number of boat operators arrested for boating under the influence. We discussed this at the first meeting, and I'm trying to think how we had this one phrased before. It was...
I don't think that this one was... It was percent of boat operators who believe that drinking alcohol...
It was a perception. These were perception questions before to gauge the effectiveness of our ad and enforcement campaigns involving people's, perception of the danger. And so now it actually reflects the number of people that are arrested for this. You can see that there's been a decline in the data for this for the last several years. We've explained that in the narrative. There are a number of reasons for this variance. One of them has to do with some problems we've had with support from the OSP Implied Consent Unit over the last few years as they were going through their trouble with laboratory funding and support for technicians, support for the maintenance of our equipment in that with that program kind of fell apart, and we've rebuilt it. We've got it back on track. We have we've left the state police for support of that, and we have an outside independent consultant or independent contractor that's performing that certification and testing of the equipment for us now. And we've also transitioned from a piece of equipment known as the Intoxilizer 1400 to a new Draeger 7410. It's a portable field evidentiary breath testing piece of equipment that officers can actually use in the field. They don't have to bring a suspect into a central station. They can be tested in the field, and it's state-of-the-art technology, really, for being able to test people in a non-office environment, which is what we're dealing with out on the waterways. So we've now have that program back up to speed, we think, in terms of the support for it. We're enhancing the training of our officers. In fact, they are conducting training today and tomorrow up in Hood River on this equipment as well as other things. And so we foresee an increase in the arrest data there for BUII.
Representative Schalter, did you have a question?
Yes, very briefly, and it's actually just exactly pretty much what I asked. But the first question I had, when I look at the number, the second performance measure, and I see how those number of patrol hours go up, is that a, and then I see these arrests go down, hopefully, I'm hoping that the performance measure is the more patrol hours you're out there, the more people you initially arrested, but eventually your deterrence out there, the fact you're out there deters people. And I think the benefit I'm looking for here to justify what you're doing is that it's a safer environment for when I'm out there with my little girl and friends boating. Is that safe for me to say that? That these are directly related, the more patrol hours you have, the less, eventually, a decline in how many drunk people are out there boating around?
Madam Chair, Representative Schlaffer, it would be our hope that as a combined effort of increased patrol, more awareness of the consequences of voting under the influence and more arrests, that people will change their behavior and eventually we will see an actual decline in that.
Thank you.
I really like this performance measure because I think it measures an outcome clearly, and that you have a number of different programs that are attempting to address this, and I think it shows pretty clearly that what you're doing is being very effective. I would like to have some additional thought given to the targets because I think that they're out of line, but probably rather than because this is a new performance measure, could we make note for the next committee that undertakes this to take a look at that and see if the trend is continuing downward, if a discussion on modifying the targets is warranted? Okay, anyone want to make any more comments on performance measure number 3? Let's move ahead.
Number 4 performance measure is voting fatalities per 100,000 registered votes in Oregon. And in this, we've explained in the narrative where we've been in the past with this and looking at the long-term trend of it, which is what you have to do. Because our numbers are relatively low, change in a few accidents can really affect some of these rates. And so it's better to look at it in terms of maybe 10-year averages or something like that. But during the 1970s, we were losing on average 29 boaters per 100,000. The rate in the 80s came down to 16 per 100,000. In the 90s, we were down to 8 per 100,000. And so you can see that over the long term, that rate has been declining rather dramatically.
Representative Krieger.
No fatalities on the juveniles. 12.
Since the life jacket law regulation went into effect, we haven't lost any children under 12.
Now you can lose them even with the life jacket on, but this just goes to show this awareness thing really, you know, education on this, I think, has really paid off.
Questions or comments additional? Let's move ahead.
The next one, I don't believe, changed. This was the percent of inspected voters who were in compliance with the mandatory education requirements, so there were no changes to that. Number six didn't change. This is dealing with the facility program and the outcomes of our Vessel Act program. Number seven is new. This is the ratio of matching funds from other sources to Marine Board funds in our facility grant program. This replaces several of them that had to do with percent of ramps, percent of parking, percent of restrooms, and percent of floats, which were admittedly somewhat confusing and kind of a moving target. So this measures how well we're doing in terms of attracting and using outside funds to leverage state dollars in our facility program. And we're pretty proud of the fact that currently, we don't have the back data on this, but it's similar, that for every state dollar invested in boating facilities, we're attracting $2.5 in other either local match, other agency programs, or federal funds. And we've been particularly successful with some of the federal fund programs.
Questions or comments? Let's move ahead.
Number eight is also new, and this measures the number of days that it takes to process and award a facility grant. The current date on that is 41 days. We require applicants to have their applications in at least 30 days prior to the board considering it. It's about a 41-day on average turnaround with consideration of
a vote. Does that include the 30 days, or does that start? Does the 30 day or the 41
the,
days starts?
30. That includes the 30 days.
Includes the 30 days. Okay.
So most applicants, once they apply, know fairly soon where they stand.
Questions or comments? Let's go ahead.
And then number nine is also new. This is the number of days that it takes to process requests for grant reimbursement. It doesn't take very long. It's less than a four-day turnaround between when they submit their request for reimbursement and when they have a check back. So we're not putting any roadblocks in the pipeline there.
Yeah, where's your banking procedures?
So,
serious questions or comments on this?
I've got another one for you. Just finally figuring out what it's all about. You wanted a serious comment.
He's not even a Canadian.
That was bad.
You are. You are. I'm going to take offense.
I'm sorry, sir.
I think that establishes the floor for jokes in this country.
Oh, we can get a lot worse.
I get that sinking feeling.
You've lost that sinking feeling.
Moving along here.
We're more than happy to track this one, but I would just note that I don't think you'll see much variance in this. I mean,
and I think that this is a good measure of efficiency within the business side of your agency. So I think that the committee, the next time the committee sits, that it's hard to improve on 3.4 days, and I think that's clearly recognizable. I think the concern would be if this went up to 15 days or something to have a discussion around what was going on.
Okay,
let's move on to number 10.
And I don't believe the others changed. 10 and 11 and 12, I believe, were all the same. So those were the changes that we had to our performance measurements.
And then are we going to add the DAS measure to these?
Yeah.
And do you want to discuss that one with the committee?
Where might it be?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, all agencies are going to have added to their performance measures.
That's in this packet.
In this, well, I'll just go through the second, or the third page in your packet, which is my memo to you for the work session, is the recommendations on the performance measures, and I recommended adding all of the measures that Paul just went through, and deleting the ones that we talked about deleting. So the first one is the percent of votes that pass is recommended to be deleted, adding in its place the number of voting safety examinations conducted, deleting the percent of law enforcement contract patrol hours and replacing that with number of on-water patrol hours, deleting the percent of Oregonians who believe that drinking alcohol while voting is unacceptable, and replacing that with the number of vote hours arrested for voting under the influence, deleting voting fatalities as a percentage of the national average and replacing that with number of fatalities per 100,000 population, revising the percent of inspected voters who are in compliance with the requirement to carry a mandatory voter education card, and that was revising the target to 80%, retaining the number of gallons of human waste, deleting the percent of parking lots, ramps, restrooms, transit tie-ups, adding ratio of matching funds of other sources to marine board funds, and the average number of days to process an award grant and average number of days to process grant reimbursement to measure the facility grant program. Retaining the three customer service measures that the agency had, and then the two that would be added that are being added to all agencies is the percent of customers rating their overall satisfaction with the agency above average or excellent, and the percent of customers rating satisfaction with the agency services above average or excellent for timeliness, accuracy, helpfulness, expertise, and information availability. I would expect that with these measures that all agencies are getting, that the agency and the Progress Board might revisit the three that they have identified and maybe do some modifying to those, and may want to eliminate those other three measures if their surveys would meet this criteria, or they can modify it to meet that criteria.
And we could discuss that during work session, two committee members, if you want to make a recommendation on that. Okay, so there's a very thorough discussion around the agency's performance measures. Let's go ahead and do the discussion on the budget detail. And we have Mr. Don Heppner from the agency, Ms. Shearer from Budget and Management, and let's work through that part of the presentation.
We were on another sheet today, right?
I think we will be going. Christine, are you going to go first or Paul? At the committee's pleasure.
Do you want Christine to go first? Ladies first.
And we are in this packet.
Just making sure.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Christina Shearer. I'm with the Department of Administrative Services Budget and Management Division. Before you, you have the presentation that I've prepared for you. It is pretty much the same format you've seen for the last 2 days. So with your indulgence, I will move fairly quickly through this unless you have any questions. On page 2, you will see the breakdown that you've seen before of the Natural Resources Program area with all the agencies. You will note that the Marine Board shows up as has no general fund or lottery fund on the right-hand side. And on the left-hand side in total funds, I forgot to highlight Marine Board, there you are, 2% of the total program area. The Marine Board falls in the Governor's Principles budget under two primary principles, the principle related to livability and the environment and the principle related to public safety. The Marine Board's expenditures are broken down, as we've discussed, between other funds and federal funds, with the emphasis on other funds. Sources of other fund revenue include fuel taxes related to motorboat fuel sales and registration and license fees. The Marine Board has three program units: law enforcement, facilities, and administration and education. It's a fairly balanced breakdown.
Can I back up just a second? You talked about where the other funds came from, but not the federal funds and why.
Chair Morgan, Senator Shields, I'm sorry for that oversight. The federal funds are primarily
Coast Guard grants.
Coast Guard grants?
And Clean Vessel Act,
yes. Thank you very much.
Okay, Coast Guard. Thank you.
Please proceed.
Okay. I believe we were on page 5. And again, if I'm going too quickly, let me know. On page 6, we have the breakdown of the expenditure types for this agency. For the Marine Board, the bulk of the budget is expended in the form of special payments. That is due to the facilities program, grant program, and also the law enforcement contracts are also expended as special payments.
The special payments are all it's grant programs and law enforcement, basically.
Yes.
What's capital outlay?
That would be minor direct expenditures for things like computers, correct me if I'm wrong.
Boats and equipment within the law enforcement area.
On page 7, we have the history of this budget. You'll see that the governor's budget is a relatively modest increase over the legislatively approved budget, driven primarily by standard inflation rates. On page 8, under major policy issues, this budget continues.
Can I back you up just a bit here to page 7? When I look at the 0305 legislatively approved and the 0507 governor's budget, there's a significant increase in the other funds line item. Can you talk to us about what it is that's increasing there?
In other funds, the expenditure increase, Madam Chair, the increase is driven largely by an increase in the grant program of $750,000 that was included in the governor's recommended budget as our policy package that we'll discuss in a moment.
So is that an increase that's attributable to the fuel side of it or to the registration and license side of it?
That increase is, Madam Chair, that increase is driven largely by the increase in license fee revenue available. The agency was constrained for many years until last biennium when their license fee was approved. That has improved their revenue picture considerably. It should be noted that the governor has recommended that increase be reexamined on a biennial basis, and so we have requested that the agency phase that out for their agency request for next biennium and ask for it again so that it's not part of the base. It would be a biennial increase in order to ensure that the expenditures don't outstrip the revenues.
Okay. And then in the federal funds piece, there is just a small 2.5% increase. Is there one particular federal program that received an uptick of funding there?
I'm going to defer to Paul on that question. I don't believe there was. I think it was just a general increase.
You're getting verbal signals from behind you there.
We just assumed a base general inflation increase in the federal funds. There, we have had no indications that there is any significant uptick or downtick in federal funds availability for these programs.
Any further questions?
Nope.
Madam Chair, I might just clarify. The Clean Start grants are tied to the transportation package that is being under consideration in Congress right now, which has considerable increases, and so the agency may experience an increase in federal funding flowing to the state as a result of the passage of that bill, but they would have to come back to the emergency board for an increase in limitation if that were to occur.
Is that Homeland Security or why is it
not? Not at all. It's just part of the transportation funding package.
Madam Chair and members, Paul Don Hefner, I might clarify. Our federal fund, all the authorization for all the federal funds that we received expired back in 2003, so we've been operating on part of continuing resolutions ever since then, and the current continuing resolution runs out May 31st. We are a part of the highway bill, H.R. 3, which passed the House on March 10th, I believe it was. They extended the funding for boating safety as a part of that. However, they did not include a number of changes that have been requested by the states with regard to solving the scoring problem that we've had against the Coast Guard's budget, dealing with some other issues related to the matching rates, extension of Clean Vessel Act, big, and some other things. We're hoping that those will be addressed in the Senate side of it and worked out in conference, but federal funds are still very much up in the air for us, and while we're hopeful that there'll be some increase over the next 5 years, the history of this program suggests that it's anything but certain.
Policy issues.
Yes, policy issues. The governor's budget continues support for the agency's core programs. We did not recommend any significant program reductions. We did include new investments in the grant program, which has been recommended that we dedicate that an increase to Willamette River facilities, and also an increase for the Clean Marina Educational and Technical Assistance Program. And that program is $98,000, and it's one FTE. Those are the new investments that the governor's budget includes for this agency. On page 9, under fee and revenue issues, as we previously discussed, the 2003-05 biennium, the legislature authorized a fee increase which addressed a revenue constraint for grant and law enforcement funding. That constraint is no longer in place, and the funding is stable and adequate at this point. And no fee or revenue increases are proposed for 2005-07. The agency has requested a technical adjustment related to a beginning balance adjustment for an emergency board for 2003-05 expenditures. Basically, what that means is we forgot to phase out one-time expenditures from 2003-05, and that's being carried forward in the budget. We'd like to phase that out.
Questions or comments? Mr. Don Hefner, would you like to do your portion of the presentation?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I think Christina hit it at a very high level. I don't know how much detail you'd like me to get into in terms of our revenue and expenditures. I can cover it real briefly if you'd like. But
let's go very briefly with a particular attention to the committee members that if you have questions, please don't hesitate to break in.
Well, quickly, in HR 3. In terms of revenue, we're not looking for any appreciable growth in boat numbers, which is one of the drivers for our fee revenue. We're not looking at any significant increase there. We did see a drop following the fee increase. We anticipated that, and that was taken into account. So our revenues there are in line. federal aid really is the big uncertainty for us right now, and so we're watching closely to see what Congress does with the reauthorization of that program. We have a minor amount of revenue that comes in out of our outfitter guide program and our voter education fees. Those have been fairly stable and on target. And then motorboat fuel tax, that's the other big driver in our budget. It's about $10.9 million other funds over the next 2 years. And I highlight this because we're going to be doing a gas tax survey this fall. It's done every 3 years by a third party to figure that out. With the drought this year, I have great concerns that we may be seeing a drop this year, and that could have some long-term implications for funding over the next 3 years because there's no mechanism in there to level that out for a bad year. So if we get a bad year and the numbers drop, we could be looking at some problems there.
And when exactly are they going to do that survey?
It'll be done this fall with results due next spring. But it will reflect use from last fall through this fall. So it'll capture the majority of the drought year.
And how do they do that?
It's a statistically valid survey that Oregon State University in the past has done for us. They ask people about where they go, how much they use their boat, how much fuel they consume on a typical day.
So it's a survey of boat owners. They come into your database and make a statistically valid sample and then go out and...
Interesting.
Okay.
So this gives you a graphic picture of where we've been in terms of revenues. Green is the registration fees. You can see the effect of the increase that was passed in 2003, and then that was only for 20 months, so that does ramp up into 24 months worth of revenue for this time, and that's one of the reasons that we have the extra facility packages that we're looking at 24 months of revenue from that. Otherwise, fuel tax, fairly stable over the last three biennia, and federal funds, as I mentioned, there's some uncertainty there.
So the fuel tax, refresh my memory, how often do they do that survey?
Every 3 years.
Every 3 years, so every biennium and a half. Okay.
Sure.
So you've been through one survey during that period of time, or two surveys it would be?
Last survey, Madam Chair, the last survey was in 2002.
Representative Kerr.
Don't the price of gas where it is, I think that'll have any effect? People are trying to drive less, that type of thing. You think they're going to boat less? Or
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, I think, cost of fuel is a factor. Fishing participation is a big factor because 60% of all boating is related to angling, so bad salmon seasons, high fuel prices, drought. We might be looking at a hit here.
All right.
Thank you.
Expenditure assumptions. We're going to be able to maintain all of our current programs adjusted for inflation as per the governor's budget. Our highest priorities as set out in the statute are for marine law enforcement and following that for boating facilities maintenance assistance is continued at current levels. And then we have revenue sufficient to fund the policy packages that Christina mentioned, the Willamette River Initiative and the facility program and the Clean Marina Initiative. And this just gives you a graphic of expenditures over the last three biennia, different way of looking at it. Slight increase in law enforcement, a little bit bigger increase with that facilities package in the facilities program. But there's a fairly close balance between the two programs there, between enforcement and between law enforcement and facilities. One is 42%, the other is 41% of the overall budget. And you've got, I think, all the detail of the small packages here. The two packages of note are the Oregon Clean Marina Package 100, and then as we move to the facilities program, the package here, the 300 package for Willamette River access. And this covers the packages again. 100 is the clean marina, the 300 is the facilities. That's where the dollars are in the two packages. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. That concludes the whole public part of it. When did we post for public hearing on this? For audience public participation?
I don't believe that we posted it.
Okay, so is there anyone here that would like to come forward and testify on the Marine Board budget?
Would you like to?
Okay. With that, then, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5050, and I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 5050. And, Ms. Jordan, can you take us through the other recommendations?
Yes, you will be looking at the packet of material that is going to be in the packet. And I really can't tell. The first is just a restatement of the governor's recommended budget with the column added for the LFO recommended budget total. If you approve all of the recommendations that I am about to make, the first recommendation that I have is to make some technical adjustments to the budget. For the PERS rate reduction, there's a $14,930 reduction in administration, $3,452 in law enforcement, and $8,113 other funds and 621 federal funds in the facility program for a total of $27,116 as a result of that rate reduction. And then the second adjustment would be for the DAS assessment, which was the result of a reduction of $3.01 per paycheck, $4,132. So total reduction is $31,248.
So, Ms. Jordan, because these are reductions in funds that are dedicated to be used in this area, does that mean that there's just that much of an increase somewhere else in this budget?
That means that would end up in their ending balance, and you could turn around and add that to the facility grant program, or you could leave it in the ending balance for something that might come up in the interim.
Okay, it's not really
a match.
Money to worry about.
Correct. And then the third thing that I would just like the committee to do is acknowledge the technical adjustment that Christina raised about reducing the 0507 beginning balance by $800,000. It doesn't change any of the numbers in the budget bill, but we would put that in the budget report so that it can get on the books that there was an expenditure made in 0305 that reduces the beginning balance for 0507. This was for a grant that was made by the Marine Board to a facility in Rainier in September of 2004.
Okay, so
could we get a post if you want to?
Well, we don't lock in a post.
$800,000 reduction, I'm sure. Where is?
You will not see it in these numbers because it affects the beginning balance, which is like the revenue that they begin the budget with. So it's not on here. I'm just asking for it, an acknowledgement of it.
Do you have questions about it?
No, Madam Chair.
We need to go trolling for senators. We left.
I would, Ms. Jordan, before you go, in the future, I'd like any $800,000 anything put in front of me on a piece of paper.
Well,
just for my own paranoid stuff.
On this paper.
Okay, thank you. Now you can go trolling for senators. I believe you. I trust you.
I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And these things will come up from time to time, Representative. It just is kind of the nature of this process that some things become apparent later rather than sooner.
Right.
So we'll see, I think, towards the end of the session, actually a number of bills that kind of clump reconciliations into a chunk and move them through.
Thank you for your
Senator Shields.
So what do you need to vote on?
Well, we are looking at the technical adjustments that are on the bottom of this page, and we're hoping to get a motion to accept them.
I would move that we accept the adjustments on page one. Technical adjustments to reduce the budget total of $31,238.
And if I could ask you to amend your motion with a mention that there is a decrease in the beginning balance of
$800,000.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Shields, are you have you got questions about anything here?
Sorry, I was out of the room. Explain real quick, please, because I'm...
There is a technical adjustment as a result of reducing the rate for the public employee retirement system charge. That's a total of $22,000, and there is an adjustment for a package that was removed from the Department of Administrative Services budget, resulting in a reduction of $3.01 per paycheck, which was...
Okay.
$4,000 in this budget.
And then there's the technical adjustment that was brought forward by DAS in the beginning balance that we are just going to verbally add to this.
That's $800,000. Where does that show up again?
It's on the last page, page 9.
Of this document. And this is a
money that's been spent but not recognized in the beginning balance. So it's kind of a bookkeeping adjustment.
So look on page 9 of the document, and there's a motion made.
Technical adjustments.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a motion. Do I have any objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion to accept the technical adjustment changes as specified is adopted.
On page 2 is a list of the policy packages in the agency's budget. The first package is a proposal by the agency for a new program to encourage clean air and water by providing technical assistance and education to marina operators and boaters. They're asking for one position, an FTE, for the 2 years of the biennium. It would be funded by federal grants received by the agency as other funds from the Department of Land Conservation Development and DEQ at a cost of $97,172. The request from in the governor's budget is $569 more. I've adjusted that for the PERS rate reduction.
And committee members, what I would ask here is, again, the same point that was raised during the budget that we worked yesterday, that in the environment that we're in, adding positions to state agencies at this time is not what the people of Oregon want to hear about. I think that there is general agreement that this is an important program, and so I would ask the committee members to consider making this a limited duration position.
Consistent that way with what we've done.
Discussion. Could I have a motion to accept policy package 100 with the amendment of making it a limited duration position?
So moved.
I have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the policy package 100 with a limited duration addition is accepted.
Package 101 proposes to reclassify three positions to reflect changes in the agency's business practices. What they've asked to do is reclassify three data entry operators who are currently at salary range 11 to public service representative 2s, which would increase their salary range to 12. It's an increase of $6,848, and LFO recommends approval.
The question I have for the director on this is, can you talk to us about what the change in duties has been here to reflect the need to reclass?
Yeah. Yes, Madam Chair. The difference here is that with a data entry operator, they are not, that classification doesn't include answering telephone calls, interfacing with the public. It's simply a, you know, put numbers into the system type of a job. By having it at the as a public service representative too, we can then use these people at the front desk, rotate them into different positions. They can still be doing data entry work, but they can also be answering the phone, answering questions, doing a little broader range of duties. And so it gives us much more flexibility to move people around the agency and cover different workloads in the front counter and things like that.
Okay. Further discussion?
Madam Chair?
Mm-hmm.
Well, looking at that salary, $9 or something an hour. They're not overpaid.
Yes.
We have we've discussed policy package 101, and I would accept a motion to recommend approval of policy package 101.
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Without objection, the policy package is adopted, and that takes us to policy package 300.
Package 300 is a request to add $750,000. For facility grants for the Willamette River. The request is feasible with current revenues and supports the governor's Willamette River initiative. Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending approval of an increase in expenditure limitation for the facility grants program, but that no special priority be given to Willamette River projects, that it just be an increase for the facility grant program statewide.
And can you tell us how much there is in the facility grant program altogether?
The total budget for facility grant program is $12 million. About 9.7 is other funds, which is the fees, licenses, registrations, and the balance of that would be federal grants.
The discussion on the LFO recommendation?
Sure.
Representative Schaaf.
That's right. We're recommending $750,000 for facility grants for Willamette River projects, but we're not recommending that they specifically go to that, right?
I think.
Can you explain that a little better to me?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to do this, and I would love to help.
In the governor's budget, the governor carved out of this $12 million pot of money $750,000 and wanted it specifically to go to the Willamette River. During the course of this program, the PATA's money has always been available to everyone in the state to apply for on an equal basis. And so it's the LFO recommendation, it's also the co-chair's recommendation, that the pot of money just be maintained as a pot of money without reservation.
I don't know if I've not been listening to my co-chair or not, but he hasn't mentioned that to me.
Would you like to go talk to him about it?
Probably.
Okay.
Do you know where he is?
What was that?
I say, do you know where he is? Is he down here someplace?
No, I don't know where he is.
Earth to Senator Schrader.
So this is something that has historically been done, just like we're going to do right here. Is that correct?
I'm sorry?
Historically, we've done this before.
Historically, there hasn't been a carve-out to the program. Historically, the program has been available to all jurisdictions and regions of the state on an equal basis.
Just with an eye to fairness, Madam Chair, I'd like a chance to talk with the governor and find out what the rationale for the carve-out was, because this kind of comes as a surprise to me. I'm sorry. It's what happens when you have too many key committees to keep an eye on.
I'll answer that question for you.
Mr. Don Heffner.
Madam Chair and Senator Shields, actually the agency, it was the agency's initiative to try to earmark this for the Willamette River. We could have We could have simply put it into the grants pot as we had, but we were trying to be supportive of the governor's plans to enhance the Willamette River, and so we thought, you know, it might be a way to earmark some of it. But I don't believe that there's any problem with putting it back in and making it available on an equal competitive basis with all other grants. There are a number of very good projects on the Willamette system that need to be taken care of, and I'm quite confident that those projects will compete very favorably with other projects from throughout the state for the available dollars here without having an earmark. And I can appreciate the fact that boat owners and other people that don't use or recreate on the Willamette might question, you know, why it gets any kind of a special priority. So we would be comfortable, I believe, very comfortable with the LFO recommendation. Simply have it in there and have everybody compete for it. And I don't believe that there'd be any...
I'm not aware of any special priority.
Any special priority for it. So I don't believe it's a problem.
Also, that the agency has a very clear track record of being very fair in putting these grants out. I think that I, in my experience, have never heard a jurisdiction complain that they felt that their grant hasn't been addressed in a very professional way.
Just for the record, Madam Chair, I don't need to hold this up today. Not for me, so. But I defer to any other member of the House. So, ready to go.
Okay. So we don't have the votes to carry or to pass this package out today, this particular policy package. Is he available out there, or has he left?
No, he's out there.
Oh, okay. So let's go on then and talk about policy package 301.
Package 301, Madam Chair, is another reclassification package, but it has no financial effects for this biennium. It takes the position of the grants contracts coordinator, which was included in a statewide class review, and changed to a new classification series called procurement and contract specialist. And there is no change in the rate of pay, but it puts them in this position into the right classification and salary range. There may be a future increase in the agency's budget because there is a slight change in the salary range at the other end. And I recommend approval of that package as well.
Can we see if we've got a senator out there?
Is a good type of thing that he has something special. I looked at this one a minute ago. I didn't have any problem with this one.
This one is policy package 301.
Right.
Okay, I would take a motion to accept policy package 301 and the LFO recommendation on that. Have a motion. Do I have discussion? Do I have objection? Without objection, the motion is carried. Now, how much further should we go into the performance measures? Okay, we've had, I think, a pretty detailed discussion around the performance measures. Senator Shields, could we hold you in here for just another couple of minutes to have a vote on accepting the performance measures?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple more.
I would accept a motion to approve the performance measures as presented.
So moved.
Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? The motion is carried. And I think that's
stand at ease until I find the administrator for Senator Shields.
Let's try that. We'll stand at ease and we'll see if we can find the Senate co-chair.
Is it willing to come back tomorrow? Is that what you're calling it?
We maybe don't have to.
I didn't want to cause any trouble.
combined committees, we are still in work session, and I would accept a motion to accept policy package 300 as the LFO recommends it.
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have discussion on the motion?
We did all that.
Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion is carried. And
thank you, Madam Chair. The next step in the process is to recommend the appropriation bill by amending line 10, deleting $4.8,049,553 and inserting $4,829,922. Line 11 deletes $9,424,035 and inserts $9,420,583. Line 14 deletes $9,358,325 and inserts $9,350,212. There's no change to line 19, no change to line 20. And line 23, it deletes $2,746,009 and inserts $2,745,388. The adjustments there is just a reflection of the technical adjustments, reducing the budget by $31,248.
I would accept a motion to approve the LFO amendments to House Bill 50, or rather Senate Bill 5050. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. And I would accept a motion to move Senate Bill 5050 to the House Bill. House Bill 5050 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due, as amended in the policy packages, with a due pass recommendation.
I have a lot of fun if Senator Shields could carry that in the House. That'd be I don't suppose we're allowed to do that, are we?
We might make an exception.
It's a small constitutional issue.
We have a motion before us. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. And in full committee, Representative Krieger, would you feel comfortable carrying this one in full? You're not on full. Will you do this in full?
Of course.
Okay. And could you also do this on the House floor?
Of course.
And do you feel comfortable sticking Senator Shields with this on the Senate floor?
No, I don't.
I'll defer
to Senator Nelson as the carrier on the Senate side.
Don't do that. He was doing his job, doing it well.
No, he was. I thought that was very good.
Questioning something, and I'm sure it was always the right thing to do. Yeah, he did question.
We have completed the work that we had allotted tomorrow's session to, so we have no business to conduct tomorrow, and because of the public notice regulations, we won't be able to get through the schedule in time. So, committee members, you have a free...
No, it won't be free.
Not exactly free.
It'll be just less busy.
And having no further business before this committee... Oh, wait a minute here. I better, first of all, close the public hearing on House Bill 5050, and I will adjourn this meeting.
So, what do you have to do? Okay.